Democrats gave us a carbon tax. They also gave us a way higher gas bill when you're filling up your car. Joining me on the line to discuss this just complete disaster, State Senator John Braun, the minority leader. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.
We were told that the carbon tax would not really impact us at the gas pump. If it did, it would be relatively minor. That's not the reality, is it?
No, not even close. I think the governor claimed it would be only pennies. Well, I guess it is pennies, but it's lots of pennies, right? So, and it's getting more. What we saw, as you're probably aware, just over a week ago, they had their first auction, and the sale of the certificates for emitting carbon, and the auction prices went over two times the price that was advertised when the bill was put forward a couple years ago. And, of course, what that means is the cost to citizens in the state of Washington, largely through gas prices, is going to be two times what they thought it would be.
Have they said anything maybe behind the scenes about some kind of relief or maybe some kind of fix?
No. That's actually the most frustrating part about this. Well, maybe not the most frustrating, but we constantly have this litany about, you know, the tax system in Washington is regressive, and you must do things to help folks who are, you know, are struggling or paying a disproportionate share of their income in taxes. And yet here we have this bill, the most regressive bill passed in, I would say, in our state's history. We just found out the price is not going to be just bad. It's going to be over twice as bad as what was expected. And crickets, nothing. No willingness at all to provide any relief to the cost of gas or anything else, any other kind of taxes in the state of Washington.
Well, they would first have to acknowledge the problem. And not only are they not acknowledging the tax hike, the media isn't really covering it.
No, they're getting a pass from the media, who think, you know, they have to do their part in the climate battle, and that's the other sad part about this is this
doesn't
bill.
Help.
It's been proven in places other places in the country and in the world who've run cap and tax system. It does almost nothing to reduce the emission of carbon. All it does is put another burden on the people of the state of Washington to live here.
But isn't that the purpose? It's to put a burden on car ownership. They've been actively, Democrats on a hyper-local level, but at the state level, have been trying to get people out of cars, and this is one way to do that.
I think you're right there. They are opposed to carbon to cars, and making, you know, cars bad because they emit carbon is one way to get out of that. Of course, you know, that's not solving their bigger problem, and it's making what it is reducing opportunities, economic opportunities, for folks. You know, this doesn't get talked about a lot, but if you are say you're living in Seattle and you have the ability to drive to your work, your economic opportunities, the opportunities you have for employment, go up by a factor of three versus if you have to take the bus because of the amount of time it takes to get to and from work. So we're locking people in to lives of poverty because we're you know, we collectively, I'm talking about the majorities here in Olympia, are opposed to giving them the freedom to drive cars.
Yeah, and it's in a lot of ways, it's even worse than that. I mean, think about it in these terms. Let's use your Seattle example. You've got someone who's able to walk to work or take the bike or ride a bike, and you've got someone who's struggling to get to their two jobs. Generally speaking, that Seattleite who's local, they're not only wealthy, they tend to be white. And the person who's working job to job in the same day to put food on their table, generally speaking, is going to be a person of color. And we're told over and over and over again about the white privilege and about, you know, equity concerns. And yet they are actively hurting the very people that they claim to want to help.
Yes, this whole thing flies in the face of the words they say. This has the largest impact on disadvantaged communities across our state that are already struggling, already barely able to make ends meet, and we're taking more, you know, pennies, lots of them, out of their pocket that they could use to pay their rent, to pay their mortgage, to feed their family, for health care, for child care, for and it's just wrong. I mean, it is a hypocrisy of what is said they want and what they're actually doing to people of the state is just wrong.
I'm talking with John Braun, state senator from Centralia. Let's switch gears and talk about a bill that is not getting a whole lot of coverage at all. It's a bill that would release what they call incarcerated individuals well prior to the expiration of their sentence. And the way that I'm reading this bill, it would even apply to the most serious of criminals.
Yeah, which bill number are you referring to? Are you talking about the sentencing enhancements or the release one?
Oh, the release ones. 1189 on the House side. Yeah, it's already. Yeah, I mean, this is absurd.
Yeah, this is a really bad bill, and this is a bill that, frankly, the Senate Democrats have promoted for 2 years, and they passed it over on a party line vote. 2 years in a row. Actually, we've had some Democrats come along with us, but not enough to stop the bill. This year, the bill is coming over from the House, which doesn't bode well because the last 2 years it's died in the House. But this is a bill that completely changes the makeup of the Clemency and Pardons Board that releases folks who have not served their time. It changes the criteria so that we're going to see, you know, likely hundreds of people who have committed, in many cases, very serious crimes released before they have completed their sentence back into the public. And this is on top of a 40-year high in crime, violent and nonviolent crime. They think this is somehow a step in the right direction. It's just, again, it's wrongheaded. It's not listening. It's tone deaf to the challenges the average Washingtonian is facing around our state.
But again, they get away with it because issues like this don't get coverage. When we hear bills about this get coverage, let's say it's King 5 News that does it. They'll focus on a reformed, armed robber who committed this act when he was, 22 years old. And they'll present it in a way that only focuses on a positive when those are the exceptions to the rule.
Right. And not looking at the risks and the impact and they're also, kind of ignoring the victims of these crimes over time. It's all focused on the criminals and with zero or very little focus on the victims who have had to suffer sometimes from very violent and difficult crimes. And it's taken our state in the wrong direction. And this, again, put it in context of the crime wave we are living through right now, today, and this is somehow believed to be an important item we need to deal with. It does not make sense to me.
At the same time, you and I yesterday talked about one particular bill. I can't remember the number, but it gets rid of a requirement to know how to read and write in English for civil service jobs, law enforcement jobs.
Yes, that was Senate Bill 5274, and this is a kind of a quiet little bill that does a crazy thing. It just says you don't have to read or write English to perform a civil servant job. And while, I don't begrudge anybody that is struggling with reading or writing English if they've come from another country, there are a lot of services available to help folks learn English and as there should be. But these are folks who are supposed to deliver services to our citizens around the state. Certainly, if they're bilingual, that's actually valuable. Oftentimes, they're paid more or multilingual. But to think that you can somehow function, deliver services in our society without being able to read or write English, I think is, again, wrongheaded. If folks are having trouble, let's help them learn. But let's not put them in a position where they're asked to, serve other citizens when they can't communicate with them.
Yeah, and especially consider the fact that you've got law enforcement officers who have to compile reports. And if you make a mistake on a report, it could have significant implications as far as a criminal getting off of a charge.
That's right. Whether it's law enforcement or any number of things, a licensure, human services, anything. If public servant or public employees make a mistake in the way they communicate, it can have devastating impact to citizens. And we're setting both the potential employee who doesn't know how to read or write or speak English setting them up for failure and setting our citizens up for failure. It doesn't make sense. I get the idea that we want to help people be successful, and I'm supportive of that, but this seems like a wrong-headed way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's probably an understatement. Do you sometimes just sit back and say, what in God's name is going on here? How have we gone this far?
certainly passes through my mind periodically. I mean, it's you know, we have certain things that we've heard again from our from folks around the state. They want us to fix public safety. Yeah. These bills we've talked about today don't do that. They wanted to make it affordable in Washington. Again, these bills seem to work counter to that. They want to make sure their kids have a quality education. And we're instead of focusing on these issues that are most important, we're way out on the ideological sidelines doing bills that are mostly virtue signaling.
Yeah, it's madness. We've been talking with State Senator John Braun, the minority leader from Centralia. Thank you so much for stopping by, as always.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.